All right, we've been in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, grazing, as some of them talk about, just kind of meandering around all over it, looking at some different things. Let's go down to verse 13 tonight, and let's read through verse 20. He that hath labored for the wind, I've thought about this a lot through the years. In fact, I thought about it when I was pretty young. I thought, it's a pretty crazy thing to live and work and try to heap up money and things, and then you can lose it at any point along the way. In one day you can lose everything. Ask Job about that. Read the book of Job and see. He lost it all in one day. Richest man in all the East, and he lost it all in one day. I mean, it can disappear so quickly. And so I've always thought something is so fragile and unsure and uncertain as that. Why would somebody give their heart and soul and everything to it and throw eternity away to have that when it can be snatched out of their hand at any moment? Let's start reading verse 13. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Think about that a minute. Well, I won't start preaching yet. Let's just go ahead and read here. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. All that work and all that toil for nothing. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Now, that's just such an obvious fact that it just stares you right in the face. You are going to leave this world with exactly what you came into it with. Nothing. I mean, you come into this world as naked as a jaybird, we always say. Nothing. Naked. And when you leave, that's just exactly how you're going to leave. Now, they'll put clothes on you and put you in a coffin and everybody come by and look at you and all of that, but you don't. But at that point, you're not even there. That's just a shell you lived in. It's a body. They call it the body. They don't call it you anymore. They call it a body. Where's the body? They put the body here. Take the body in there. Store the body here. It's a body. It's not a person anymore. All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. All right, I'm gonna try to hurry. Riches are kept to the hurt of their owners. It costs you something to get rich, and it costs you something to hang on to them once you do get them. Y'all hear that now? To their hurt. Riches are kept to their hurt. You see that? That was the first line we read. The effort put forth to hang on to riches cost the owner some things. Much more than you think. Much more than he thinks. It brings adversity and affliction in a lot of ways to be rich. You know, the Bible says the rich hath many friends. Well, they're not real friends. They're just hanging around you because you got money and they could use some of it. And they figure if they're a good enough buddy, you give them some of it. They're wanting what you got. That's why they're your friends. When you don't have them anymore, they'll be gone. Just like the prodigal's friends. But trying to have riches and to hang on to them brings adversity. People hate you also because you're rich. Man, that's the biggest part of the power behind the politics nowadays is class warfare. And it's all about rich people got it all and poor people don't have anything. And we're living in a time when it don't matter if you may not have gas for your car, food for your children, shoes for your feet, but you'll have a smartphone and you'll have enough money for cigarettes and beer and weed if you need it. You'll have that. We're living in a time where everybody, anybody, can have anything they want. Who was telling the other day? Was that y'all telling about the college where they was lined up along the sidewalk giving credit cards to the kids, freshmen starting college? Not a job, no income. All these credit card companies are hawking credit cards to them, letting them run up thousands of dollars in debt. You can have anything you want, and everybody does. And then complain because there's rich people. Well, I've read it before, and I thoroughly believe it. You can take all the money that everybody's got, divide it up even among everybody, and in 30 days, the same people that had it all to start with will have it again. Now, that's the way it is. Some people know how to deal with it, how to get it, how to keep it, and some people just don't know how to do anything with it except spend it. And that's the world you live in, and that's the way it works. There's a lot of people, some people, learn how to balance this thing out right. Money, riches are a good thing as long as they're your servant and you're not their servant. If you can make money your servant, then you're doing all right. The Lord could trust you with more of it. But it's a hard thing. It's a thing that people get caught up in, and money becomes their master so easily in so many different ways. But in order to, let me stay on point here, it brings you trouble. Along with having riches brings trouble to your life. It costs you something. It brings trouble to you. It brings adversity. People work against you. There are people that'll just try their best to destroy it and destroy you and make it their life purpose to destroy you just because they hate you because you got what they don't have. Money will make you enemies. You know, I've learned to be very careful about it. Now, a lot of people that do have riches, they did get them crooked. They ran over somebody. They hurt people to get what they got. But not all of them did that. I've known people in my life that I know were not like that and had riches. And they got them through hard, honest labor. Yep. Or just the fact that God trusted them with it. God's able to trust some people. Abraham was rich. It ain't a sin to be rich. It's not a debilitating thing for some people. They can handle it. Jacob was rich, had lots of trouble too. Abraham was rich. There were several rich people in the Bible. The man whose tomb Jesus was buried in was a rich man. And Jesus had said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it is possible. It is possible. But you're just going to have trouble if you're rich. It's not going to be like everybody thinks. It's the pipe dream of all the human race. Oh, if I just had so much money that I could just pay my bills and get what I wanted and I could just kick back and relax. It doesn't work that way. I mean, that's what I want you to understand tonight. We're reading the Bible here, and this is what the Word of God says. It don't work that way. I mean, riches are kept till you hurt. I mean, it's going to hurt you more than it helps you. And if you need proof, look at all the celebrities. Yeah. Are they happy? No, they're not happy. They're most miserable, wretched people on the face of this earth. But they got lots of money. They got all that heart could wish as far as all that goes. But boy, have they paid for it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I mean, it's much greater riches to have contentment and to be satisfied with what you have and to have, I mean, it's better. There's just so many scriptures to quote here, but I mean, it's better to have a little with family and happiness and peace of mind and peace with God than it is to have a lot with all the trouble that comes with it. It robs you of peace of mind because you're worrying about those riches. I've known a lot of people. I've known people that had stuff, had money and stuff. And these people that get all caught up in investments, investments, investments. It becomes an obsession with them. And they can't, everything that they live and think and hear and read is ran through that also. I mean, how's that going to affect my investments? How's that going to affect, am I going to lose? I mean, look at the stock market every day. And if it's up, hey! If it's down, whoa! There's very few that don't just get caught up in that, and that's their life. It costs them. They can't enjoy sitting with their family, bouncing little children on their knees, playing with them with their toys. They can't enjoy anything like that because, man, there's too much to worry about here. I got so much invested here. Boy, what if I'd lose all this? Then I'd be like everybody else. Eventually, it may even destroy your mind and your health, having riches, because of the worry that goes with it. It's that way with jobs, you know. People get these high-paying jobs. You know, we were talking about the other day, I think Dakota, we were talking about doctors and how much they make. I said, well, I don't begrudge them for making money because they do put a lot, they invest a lot to be a doctor. Not only the college, though, that we talked about, they don't get to live like everybody else. You know, they don't get to have a life. I mean, they're all nights. Y'all just think about your baby doctor that you go to. I mean, just, I wouldn't want to live like that. Sure, you make a lot of money, but what good's money when you don't have a life? It's to your hurt. It's to your hurt. You need to drill that in you. Somehow you need to get that in you so you don't love riches. The Bible says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. You just can't never get enough. And it's a lie of the devil that money's what you need. You don't need money, because you ain't going to carry none of it out with you. What you need is just enough to get by. And God provides that for us. We just do what we're supposed to do. If any man don't work, he shouldn't eat. So, supposed to work. If you're able, you ought to work. That's right. And if you do that, if you're faithful in the things that God commands and expects of us, then God will take care of us. You don't have to worry about it all. I'll tell you, and this has been my experience, the most content, the most generous, the kindest, the most thoughtful, loving people that I've ever been around have been the poorest people that I've ever been around. That's the truth. They're the most generous. The ones that have the least to give. Well, I just want to be, I've heard people say, well, I just want to work and make lots of money so that I can give. But I've watched them and they don't give. When they make lots of money, they say, you know, they say like, 9 for me and 1 for you, like we do God, you know. God, you gave me all of this. Here's 9 for me and 1 for you. And then you think you've really done a sacrifice. They sometimes spend all their riches in an effort to hang on to them. Spend it all. You know, I've watched people and it's kind of, to me, it's just a perplexing thing. I look at them and I think, you are smart, you're educated, you are well informed about all this money and investments and everything you're doing. And they cover it all with insurance. They spend all their money on insurance to make sure they don't lose what they got. I know people pay thousands of dollars a month on insurance to protect their investments. I mean, they've got insurance for everything that you can imagine. Every scenario that might happen in their life, they've got insurance to cover that. But buddy, they're paying for it. And it's all designed to just keep this insurance, to keep this riches. And it's to their hurt. I've always thought that was funny. Insurance premiums and then crooked insurance companies who crawfish when it comes time to pay. But you didn't read the fine print here. You know, your building fell down like we had a few years ago, had an ice storm and knocked all the buildings down. And one of the insurance companies said, well, now you should have read the fine print. If it snows and it falls down, we'll pay. But if it's ice, we won't pay. That's the way it was. Caused a big ruckus. Remember the guy that put the sign up by the highway up there on 34? Said they wouldn't pay. I think they paid finally. Oh, man. Investments that fail are stolen from them by crooked financial salesmen. What about all these crooked? It's in the news every year. It's all through the last several years. You hear all this in the news about these crooks in these financial markets and stuff, and they weasel people, rich people's money from them. You take your money and invest it somewhere and trust somebody with it so you can, and you're worried about keeping what you got. You end up with nothing because somebody stole it from you. Because of your insecurity and fears of losing it, you lost it. You keep it to your hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, it says. Sometimes their own health fails and they lose their riches trying to pay for doctors and hospitals and medicine. Now, we all know how it is. You can end up in the hospital and, it's like Esther and Dakota back there, you know, when Livy was born. When I was born, what did that cost Dad? $115 or something? Well, I'm old, yeah, I know that. But when Seth was born, I remember it cost us about $1,200. Hospital, doctor, everything. That's 41 years ago. Our children, the most expensive one was Elizabeth in 1996. Cost $8,000 for 5 days in the hospital, emergency C-section, her and her mother both in the hospital, her in intensive care most of that time, $8,000. Dakota and Esther had a baby, normal birth, no complications, no trouble, just have the baby, come home. $168,000. No, that's thieves is what that is. $168,000 at Southeast Missouri in Cape to have a baby, normal delivery. Well, the reason was they had insurance, but the insurance wouldn't pay that much, so it ended up costing them $7,000 or $8,000. Plus the insurance premium they pay every month. So that's how it works. Well, what if you get cancer? And you go to the hospital. You know, it's nothing for surgery to cost $150,000 to $200,000. What are you going to do then? How do you pay for medical care if you're not rich? And if you are rich and you get sick one time and they take all you made, all your life that you've hoarded and saved and scrimped and done without to have, and they just take it away from you. Yep. These riches perish by evil travail. Sometimes they end up in a nursing home, and the nursing home takes all their money and their property. Happens a lot. That's the way it is. I remember old Walter watching month by month as all the money he had saved all of his long life working at the shoe factory and saving money. And they took it $5,000 at a time each month till it was all gone. Then the government can pay. Then, when you're totally broke, then the government will help out a little. But they keep tabs on you And if you get $500 in from somebody, they take it out of you. They take that too. So, sometimes somebody's hurt on their property or in an accident, and they find a way to take everything they have away from them. Somebody come to your... That's why we got to have insurance here, you know. They have a funeral over here. Somebody park on our parking lot, uninvited, without permission, get out of their car and trip and fall and break their leg, they'll sue us. You know. And if we don't have insurance, they can take the property. Yeah. That's how it works in this world. See how riches are? See how possessions are? See how it is? Is that what you want to live your life struggling to have? Something that somebody can just take out of your hand? Something that's just greased up and slick and you can't hardly hang on to, and you're going to risk that? Everything you got on that? And then spend your life on trying to keep it if you do get some of it? We're told here that for whatever reason, a lot of times people become wealthy and then lose it before they die and leave nothing to their children. That's what he said there. And he has a son, and he has nothing in his hand. After living and having things, by the time they leave this world, they have no more than when they came into it. So in all points, as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? What profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Labored for the wind. All your work of a lifetime. How much is it worth? It's not worth living for, I'll tell you that. Making your life about. It's not worth getting up every day, and that's the purpose of your life, is to try to make another dollar. That's not your purpose of your life. It's not why God put us here.
That's right.
Work? Yeah. But not to love riches or things of this world, or to live to have that. Your life ought to be, you're made in the image and likeness of God. Your life amounts to more than that. You ought to have a higher thing to aspire to than making dollars. How sad that his life has been spent for absolutely nothing. What profit hath he who hath labored for the wind? Ain't that a sad, lamentable thing? That a person born into this world and live 70 or 80 years and work and toil and sweat and suffer and do without and scrimp and end up with nothing. You can't carry this stuff out of the world. You better lay up treasures in heaven, and you don't do it with dollar bills. And you don't do it with positions and what you call it, prestige and power and all that. Money is power. That's why people want money. They want power. If you love people, you really shouldn't care too much about money. It's a thing. It's a servant. You need it to live, yes. But Jesus didn't make dollars. If he needed them, he went and got them out of a fish's mouth. That's right. How sad that all his labor and toil and effort to hang on to what he had was for nothing. Fail. Waste of time. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. In verse 5 it says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven.
Yes, sir.
Makes you kind of, you know, you guys have been talking about money and finances and all this, you know, but it makes you feel kind of bad when you look back over your life and you start adding up every year what you made.
Yeah.
Oh, what? What? Well, I just read to you what happened. It flew away. Took its wings and flew away into somebody else's pocket. They offered you something and you said, okay. You give them the money and they gave you your junk. Their junk. Yeah. And you pile up the junk until you ain't got no place else to pile up junk. And then when you die, the kids come and all throw it all in the dumpster. Mm-hmm. You remember that cartoon picture, that guy standing there with the garage door up and it's all packed full, and he said, "This, remember, son, this look for one day this will all be yours." Yeah. "All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness." Now, we're talking about people who are rich, that labor to be rich, who have riches and try to hang on to them. That's what we're talking about. That's what he's talking about here. He doesn't enjoy any of his riches, and his life is filled with sorrow and wrath and sickness. When you get to the place where you fall in love with money and pennies, I mean, you just count everything and you just cling to it, you can't enjoy nothing because they took some of my money. You love it so much that you just can't turn loose of it. My brother tells me about, you know, some people that he worked for a little bit, and said when he goes to get his checks, that they're so tight, said they just hold on to the check. They have to keep it in their hands as long as they, and you know, when they do turn loose of it, he's just got to pull it out of their hand because it just hurts them so bad to turn loose of that money. It's painful. It's a rough life when you fall in love with riches. Don't do it. Yep, don't do it. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, Jesus said no man can serve God and mammon. You can't have it both ways. If you serve God, you love God, serve God, you can't love money. You got to have it. It's the medium by which we all do live. We pay our bills. We buy our stuff. We got to have some of it. And we got to get it some way. But I really don't enjoy it. I just don't enjoy it. It's just too, it's hard to come by. And there's never a surplus. Never has been for me, anyway. And I just got a whole different view of it than I guess most people do, because it seems to me that most people love it and they want it. And they'll do anything to get it. I mean, they'll forsake God. They'll compromise with the world. They'll do anything for money. Do you realize what people are doing for money now? Do you realize that the love of money is the root of all evil? Now, don't read the New King James. It says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That's not what the Word of God says. The New King James book says that. That ain't the Bible. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why there's, you were talking about the child trafficking. Money. All the whoredom and prostitution and sex trade, it's all about money. Pornography is about money. It destroys the souls of men. But it puts money in some wicked devil's pocket who loves it, who wants to be rich and is going to keep being rich. He'll sell your soul to the devil to do it. It's the root of all evil, loving money. You shouldn't feel too kind toward it. It comes and it goes. And I watch the $100 bills, and you think you got a handful of them and think, man, that looked pretty good. Next thing you know, they're gone. Everything costs $100 now. Yeah. Oh, well. Y'all know that. He doesn't enjoy any of his riches, and his life's filled with sorrow and wrath and sickness. Now, there's got to be a better way, don't you think? There's got to be a better way to live. Look down in verse 18 through 20. "Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." Let me stop right there. There's a better way to live. This is all not negative. I mean, God just said, boy, it's terrible the way this is and the way this is. And people love riches and they live their life of riches and they suffer for it. And it's all bad. Wrath and sorrow and sickness and all that. That's what they get. But here's the good thing. He said, this is good and comely. What is it? For you to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of the life that God gives him. Mm-hmm. Man shouldn't, if he doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Bible also talks about in the New Testament there about let him work with his hands. Let him that stole, steal no more. But rather let him work with his hands that he may have to give to him that needeth, in need. Why are you supposed to work? Well, it's so you can eat and it's so you can help somebody who can't. That's why we work. We don't work to gather riches. We don't work to be better off than everybody else. We don't work to raise our standard of living up from poor people to middle class. I saw the other day an advertisement for a house here in town. I know where it's at. They showed those pictures of that house, and it's like a mansion, man. Big rooms, in-ground pool. I mean, it's all concrete driveway. And I just thought in my mind back to 50 years ago or so, living around here, and the kids I went to school with, and the houses they lived in, and the houses we lived in, and I thought, boy, this is sure different. What has happened here? How did this come to be in Elsinore? Where the kids I went to school with always come to school dirty, and ragged, and poor. Yeah. We should enjoy the fruit of our labor. Not hoard it. Enjoy. Work. Make enough money to buy your groceries. Feed your family. Enjoy life. Now that don't mean be careless with your money. Not be a good steward. Not be foolish with anything. We should be prudent and we should be wise. But we shouldn't be miserly. A miser is one who in wealth makes himself miserable by the fear of poverty. See, that's what we've been talking about here. These riches, that's what people fall in love with it. They get obsessed with it and it becomes what? Their idol. Their idol. And what they make themselves miserable with the fear of being poor. Well, God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. How about that? Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. That's right, too. He's right. We should look at the fruit of our labor as something to enjoy and not something to guard from others. I believe that it's that way. I mean, I don't look at what I've got as... I mean, I just don't care. If you want it, you can have it. Now, don't come to my house tomorrow saying, hey, Dad, I want to, you know. But I mean, I really mean that. I mean, it's just junk. It's just stuff. What's in the refrigerator is just there. If you want it, eat it. If you need something else, take it. I don't look at it as, that's mine. You know what? You better give it back. You better stay out of my stuff. You better not touch it. It's mine. It's mine. It's all mine. I just believe God puts that in you too. I don't believe that's just your nature or your bent in your, you know, your personality and all that. I just don't see how that you can have the love of God dwelling in you. And your brother say to you, you know, it come to you in need, and you just say, be you warmed and filled. God bless you. Hope you find some help somewhere. Yeah. There's a big problem when we lived in Mexico. We didn't have enough money to live on. And that was our big problem, one of the big problems. But we had people knocking on the door all the time, wanting help. And you just can't. I just couldn't. You know, I'd go get some money. We had to get it out of an ATM machine the last go around down there. But if I had some money, I'd just usually give them some. I just couldn't say, nah. When somebody's poor and hungry and they're looking at you begging for help, I don't know how you can just say, nah, get away from me. Go away. It's my money. You get out and make you some if you want some. We ought to look at the fruit of our labor as something to enjoy and not something to guard from others. Now, if a man does obtain wealth and riches and is able to enjoy them and not become a slave to them, then it's a gift from God. I've told you before, but I remember when old Roger McAllister was dying. He was laying there and we went to see him. And I remember him telling me, he said, do you think that I've been... I forget how he put it, but anyway, he was questioning me if I thought he'd been faithful in what God had given, because he had a lot of money. I said, well, Roger, you've helped a lot of people. I mean, I don't know half of what you've done, but I know you've done a lot. He said, I just don't feel like I've done enough. He went around asking people. You know, I remember him asking Tully. Maybe I shouldn't call names, but he asked him, he said, have I done everything that I promised you? You know, he didn't want to die leaving something promised that he hadn't done. Well, if God gives a man riches and you can be like that, it's a gift of God. It surely is. And it's not something that, the way he got all of that was just kind of fell his way. I don't believe it was his life goal to set out to do that. I think it just kind of happened. So it's a gift of God. If a man does obtain wealth and riches and is able to enjoy them and not become a slave to them, then it is a gift of God. God obviously can't give this gift to everyone because everyone cannot handle it this way. I know that, and I'm sure you know that too if you'll just think about it. Not everybody can do that. God just can't trust everybody with riches. Look at yourself in the mirror and, like I do, and say, well, that must be the reason. So, for he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Now, this type of man will not be filled with regrets and bad memories of his life, because his heart will be filled with the joy from the Lord. I'm talking about a man who's lived his life not for riches, but for God and other people. Who didn't hoard things and guard things as his. You know, that's selfishness, isn't it? I believe it is. God will answer him in the joy of his heart. This can only be if a man makes God first in his life. Now, it can't happen unless God is first in your life. If you fear God, if you truly fear God and you live that way, and God's first, God can trust you with some of these things. But if you don't, so one who sets his affection on things above and not on things on the earth, it's a man like we're talking about here. He's one who seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And life is wasted that is not lived for the glory of God. You may, the richest man in this world, which, who is it? Is it Bezos now, or is it, I don't think Bill Gates is it. There's always some of them. I mean, somebody's the richest person that's ever lived in here. I believe it's the Amazon guy. Yeah. And Jeff Bezos, he got rid of his wife and got him another one recently. Cost him $40 billion, but he didn't care. make that again easy. Yeah. Started in his garage in like 94. Just a common poor boy. Now look, he's got it. He's got all the riches. Reckon he's a happy man? I don't think so. I would bank everything on that he's not. You read in the news where he's lost so many billion in just a few minutes. And then the next day he's gained so many billion in just a few minutes. And it's, would that make you need antacid tablets? Mm-hmm. Would it make it hard for you to go to sleep at night sometimes? Would it make you suspicious of everybody that tried to deal with you? Yes, it would. Untrusting of anybody, even your wife. You got this woman, and I understand she gave a bunch of texts to her brother, and he sold it to National Enquirer and made a bunch of money. I mean, that's the way it is. Everybody's out to get you if you got deep pockets. That's not so good. Not so good. No, it ain't. It's not worth chasing after, spending your life for. Won't you just be happy and be content with such things as you have? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And nobody richer than the person who's just learned to be content. Brother Kenny gave me a book, and I've been looking at it, and I got to get started reading on it. I've read little clips out of it, but it's about contentment. I forget how the title is, but it's about contentment, godly contentment. You don't need money to make you happy. It won't make you happy. Money can't buy happiness. You know, everybody says that. But it can buy this, and that'll make you happy. You know. No, just everybody thinks money's the answer. Money's not the answer. let me say a thing or two here, too. You know, I'm just poor as you can get. And if you'd see my tax forms, you'd go into shock. Yeah. But I've listened to other preachers all through the years and how they struggle and how they work and do all kinds of shenanigans and borrow millions of dollars to build church buildings and buy property and all of that. And they're always in debt and everything. And I just think about what God's done for us here. And, you know, we didn't labor for that. Like, I mean, we didn't set out. We didn't go in debt. We're not going to go in debt. And God's going to provide for us. He always has. And the best thing to do is just keep about the Lord's business. And let God take care of that. God provides. Where God guides, God provides. He does. And if we don't love money and we love God, God will take care of the money. But you love money and start neglecting God and compromising on God, you lose everything. You lose it all. So I ain't going to do that. You know, the horizon's coming up there. And when I leave this world, I'm going to leave with nothing. So are you. So don't let it rob you of living. It's good for a man to enjoy the fruit of his labor. Work so you can have, and work so you can give. You know, have for your family. Be satisfied with what you have to eat, that you bought with the money that you earned. Working. Or that somebody gave you because God put it on their heart to give you. Riches, they're deceitful. Through the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, the Bible's full of it. Yes. And the love of money is the root of all evil. Don't love it. Love Jesus. Love God. And live life. That's the only way you'll get to the end of this life. A happy person. The real riches, you can't buy them with dollar bills. Or gold or silver. Or negotiable bonds, or stocks, or anything like that. or real estate. Everybody's got their thing. Somebody's got the stock market. Somebody's got real estate. They just buy everything they can and hold on to it. It's mine. It's mine. The deed says it's mine forever. Deeds lie. It's not yours forever. I've always thought that's funny. You read a deed and it says to him and his heirs forever. That is so dumb. There ain't nobody, nowhere, owned a piece of land forever. That's why there's abstracts and title searches and all of that, you know. You got to figure out all these people all the way back that owned this forever. All of them owned it forever. They don't own it now. You're camping on it. I don't care if it is in your name. You're just camped out there for a little while. Pretty soon your tent's going to get ripped up and somebody else is going to put a tent on it. It's theirs forever. They're going to call it by their name. Men act so foolish. They're so foolish in the face of reality. Why in the world? Why in the world? All right, well, let's stand. Don't live for riches. Don't live to keep riches. Live for God. And live for eternity. Yes. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Now Jesus said that. Mike Miller didn't say that. Jesus said that. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust that don't corrupt. And thieves don't break through and steal. I saw there a while ago where Steve Proctor and Nancy went home today. And somebody kicked in the door, back door of their house and robbed them. Stole stuff all in their house, stole their stuff. Well, they're at church. They knew they would be. Thieves do that. They'll take your stuff that you work for, that you cherish, that you treasure. And it's a rotten, dirty, low-down thing. A thief is just about as low-down as you can get. There ain't going to be none of that in heaven. Lay up treasures there where they cannot do that. What you lay up in heaven, you got forever. Sending up timbers. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Oh, such instruction that is so true, and so real, and so practical. Please help us to not love this world or the things that are in the world. But help us, Lord, to look to eternity and live our lives as pilgrims passing through this place that is so corrupt and so messed up by sin and sinners. Please help us, Lord, to live life and enjoy the fruit of our labors and have to give to others and enjoy life that way instead of trying to heap up treasures here on earth. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.